Welcome to Fraud in the Office, a true fraud podcast. I'm Matthew Reckers alongside the truly heroic Iron Man 2, Jeff Hare, with no hair, and oh-so-charming voice of reason, Casey V. How do ordinary people steal extraordinary amounts of money from big companies? Tune in to Fraud in the Office and discover the who, the how, and the what now. This week's episode, A Bit Conned. Last season, we explored the FTX bankruptcy of the major cryptocurrency exchange. This story of Ray Trapani and Centratech is even more unbelievable because he scammed $32 million from investors and ultimately got away with it. The Netflix show's BitConned actually has Ray laughing at how he became famous, lying, cheating, stealing, and ratting out his own partner and ultimately got away with the scam.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Fraud in the Office. We are out here in our fraud-tacular locations across the U.S.
Fraud I got!
We're making up new fraud
legacy.
Fraud I got! Fraud-tacular.
Let's go for Fraudworth. Yeah, welcome back, y'all. We've got Matt, Jeff, me, KCB, all here in the studio. What's going on, guys?
Well, Galt's Gulch has moved to an undisclosed location in the desert now. I just can't tell you where.
Oh. Yikes. A little sandy.
Yeah, if I told you, then people could come steal my fool's gold. See what I did there? My crypto fool's gold.
Oh, boy.
I see.
Well, I'm excited because after this recording, and by the time people will be listening to this, which is in March, I'll have a house.
You'll have a
so
house.
So that's exciting.
In Fraudworth?
Wait a minute. In Fraudworth. You might have flipped it by then, right?
That's also true. Yes.
Wait a second. Yeah, this is a house you're excited about, but you're not going to live in it?
No. It'll be an investment property. Oh, so
what about your dream to own horses? Isn't that perfect with the house and in Fraudworth?
This is, well, yeah, but this is a way to do that faster.
To eventually buy your ranch?
Yeah. They just...
yeah.
Oh,
that's right.
Faster meaning this is a way of making money so that you can get a bigger Fraudworth house.
It's easier. It's easier to, it's easier to get fraud if you want it fast.
Look, in 6 months, would you like to make your entire year's salary? Versus a whole year to make your entire year's salary.
Wow. Your boss apparently doesn't pay you enough if that's the case.
Is this you know, is this a future of, you know, skipping out on Jeff here? Eventually you'll be flipping houses?
No. Oh, don't say that.
No. Oh, no.
Confessions.
Well, all I know is there's a young man named Ray Trapani that is desperate for a horse riding wife. So we can talk about that as we go through. He's apparently pretty rich.
I didn't know where you were gonna go with that when you were like, there's a young man. I was like, oh no, they're gonna talk about my dating life again. And then you're like, Ray Trapani, and I was like, oh, we're gonna talk
Ray's,
about the episode.
Ray's
great.
Married.
Perfect segue.
Ray's married.
And then now it's potential suitor, and I'm like,
yes, Ray's married. Did you watch the show on Netflix?
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, who knows if he's married still. I mean, he's gone through some...
He should have been also an illegal marriage. Maybe it's not really marriage.
Maybe it's a fool's gold marriage. It's a fraud. Maybe
Sam Sorby Sharma, you know? Karma.
I feel like that guy
Karma's come back and bite him.
No.
Sharma Karma! Karma came back.
Anyway...
he was supposed to be the honest one of the conversation.
About this Marcus.
No, Marcus. Sorry. We're getting way off.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Anyways, yeah, let's brief everyone on what's going on here. So essentially, we're going to be talking about the show on Netflix called BitConned, hence the name of this episode. Essentially, as a summary of what went down in 2017, Ray Trapani, Sam's, which we call Sorby. Him Sorbet. Or is it Sorby?
It's Sorby.
I like Sorbet. Sorbet
is cool. It's a little cool. More,
sounds more delicious.
French.
Target.
What?
Sorby.
Yeah.
Sorbet.
It's Sorby. You know. Let's give
the guy Sorby Sorbet. You guys decide. And Robert Farkas, they all founded Centratech, which is a cryptocurrency company that raised more than $25 million from investors in an initial coin offering. ICO,
Casey was.
And was promoted by Floyd Merriweather. was correct. Was a cryptocurrency.
It never was.
Company. But it was promoted by Boxers. Yeah. Boxer one, Floyd Mayweather and DJ Khaled. So big influencers in the space.
Influencers of what? Influencers
you
of
may have
what
seen commercials.
Is well, of I know they're
fraud.
Pretty
they're you
know, they're influential in their areas, but like for cryptocurrency, these guys. I mean, it's kind of like Tom Brady with FTX and Giselle.
You know, I would agree with you.
And Taylor Swift.
I would agree.
If you have a chance, go back and see those episodes last year on FTX and, you know, what is it? Fraud or Not with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. I shamelessly promote the other episodes. Sorry, guys.
Yes.
But anyways, no, they're famous people, but they have no real understanding of crypto
influence. Yeah, I would agree with you there. Anyways, so these three guys, Ray, Sorbet, and Robert, they met running a luxury car company in Miami, and from there they formed Centratech, a crypto financial services company. And claimed to offer like kind of like a debit card that converted cryptocurrencies into actual dollars. So think like we had an episode on this with like FinTech. What was that one called? That episode.
That was the one from Germany.
German. Did we do German?
Yeah, no, the like.
Jeff. No.
Yeah, it was a shift gear.
Oh, now that was
Wirecard.
That was Switch. Was Wirecard. The was the company in the UK?
Wirecard. Wirecard. Those are two different things. Wirecard. Oh, dang. Okay, thinking of different things. We've done so many episodes, guys. Anyway, during the company's like much hype ICO, they made a number of false claims, including the existence of a partnership with MasterCard and Visa, and as well as like a Harvard-educated chief executive officer. And
I think they all went to Harvard.
Wait.
I'll sum it up with this quote,
which is red flag number one. Everybody on their company.
I want Casey's quote. What's Casey's quote here? Sum up with this.
Here's a quote to kind of sum this up from the SEC. Centra sold investors on the promise of new digital technologies by using a sophisticated marketing campaign to spin a web of lies about their supposed partnerships with legitimate businesses. As the complaint alleges, these and other claims were simply false. I mean, to bring it back to Khaled and Mayweather, the agency, the SEC, made settlements with them later in 2018. Crypto was just this newfound territory, completely unregulated by the SEC, which Ray took it as, you know, if that's the case, then there's a way to exploit it. So that's what he did.
Yeah, it was.
And this is
interesting that the SEC took so long to respond, and then that ICOs, like, why do they think that this wasn't going to be regulated by the SEC? It wasn't going to be securities. I'm getting into detail, but that was an interesting part of this is they're trying to make the argument that the ICO wasn't a security and didn't therefore have to be regulated by the SEC.
Yeah, it's these these coins,
so,
and it's really kind of, you know, using these debit cards as a technology to spin that crypto all over the world. So, yeah, this reminds me a lot of, and I'm shamelessly, I'm shamelessly going back. I mean, Wirecard, but also Theranos, where the blood one with Emily, what, not Emily, I can't think of it. What, Elizabeth Holmes. And going back to that one where it's like, this is a great idea. This is awesome. But it just never was obtainable. There was nothing there.
There was nothing there.
Everybody liked the idea of having a Visa card and being able to go around and use your cryptocurrency. I mean, partly if you watch this Netflix BitCon, I think it was Sorbet went over to Korea.
Sorby.
Sketchy.
Oh, that was so funny.
He goes over to
this
Korean company.
Is he dead or alive?
I mean, he pitches this thing and it doesn't work. They're faking that it removes it from the account and everything. It reminds me of the blood stuff that Emily did. Or not Emily, I keep saying Emily. Elizabeth did on Theranos, where the blood testing thing didn't work, so they faked it. I mean, it reminded me a lot of that, where the technology didn't work, and even the Korean company still invested millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That was the cliffhanger.
This also reminds me about with Wirecard, just because a New York Times reporter is the one who kind of ousted him. Mm-hmm. So the same thing with Wirecard. It was some journalist in the UK, I believe.
Financial Times, I think it was.
Okay, yeah. Yep. And then eventually the authorities got involved. But it was a reporter who kind of ousted him to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the big thing here is that, well,
it's fraud. We're talking about fraud in a podcast.
Yeah.
We're done.
An entrepreneurial venture that seemed legit, could have been legit.
Yeah.
Is a fraud.
Yeah. It's going to be nice to, get into the who behind this, because this Ray Trapani. Yeah,
move right into that.
Ray Trapani is such a character. I spent about 9 years of my life living down in South Florida, in the Hollywood, North Miami Beach area, in between Fort Lauderdale and Miami, and so this one to me kind of hit home. You know, the exotic car rental business. I mean, I saw that all the time, Rolls Royce, Bentleys, Ferraris, Lamborghinis. I mean,
let's back up. I don't think what we've said that about them yet. So the way that they met Sorbet, Robert, and
you've already mentioned the luxury rental car company.
But I didn't. Yeah, but it's called Miami Exotics, so they didn't know that it was in Florida. So that's how they met. It was supposed to be some legit business venture, and they ended up going into massive amounts of debt.
Well, I think it was legit. They had the cars and everything, and they rented them out. They just
didn't manage cash flow well.
They had no controls here. Yeah. People would just put the money that they got into their personal bank accounts and, go out gambling. I mean, I think Ray here, he initially got his investment from his family and got family members. And that's what's most tragic here, I think, for me, is that, he didn't just steal from, all these other investors. A lot of these people were his family. And so that's tough to swallow, but he took that money to start it up and it started bringing all this money, and they just, started living lavishly. And, I think the creditors were knocking at the door, and he took the last $100,000, ran to the casino to try to, make some money at the casino, win it all back. Save the company. And then lost it at the tables. And then I think that's where this idea came up for this crypto company here called Centratech. And, you know, the idea, Ray wasn't really the guy who came up with the idea. I think this was the Sam.
Yeah, it was more
Sorbet's spot, but he was not nearly as, outgoing as an extroverted as Ray was. So,
Yeah. I think something about Ray that we kind of mentioned like early on in our introduction to the podcast, but it's that he just wanted to be a criminal. Like he even states, like, if I could have been put in my yearbook, I would have put, I want to be a criminal.
Yeah.
Like what?
He wanted to be like a gangster. You know?
Yeah.
Who starts off as a kid? What kind of family did he grow up in, or parents did he have that instilled this desire to be a criminal?
It seems like mobs.
I just want to be somebody that steals.
I think it's
from
like the mob mentality. I mean, I guess his grandfather kind of looked pretty mobbish. I don't think really was, but he's Italian. You know, I don't want to stereotype Italians and everything, but what got me was like this, you know, smirk that he had the whole show, like this little smirk that he's like, he's just happy to tell the truth of what he did and he doesn't really care and that he got away with it. Like from the very start, he's just like, almost has no conscience. I guess narcissistic personality potentially here.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of as I was watching this is like, did they get paid like a royalty to allow Netflix to record their story, which is probably the case. And I almost felt guilty watching it, thinking this guy is getting money, making money off of me watching.
No, he's not making money. He's already made his money from Netflix. I mean,
paid him for his story.
I know, but
yeah, it is kind of, and that's why I was like, Is the very show BitCon a con? Because the very show itself is making money, you know, it's a con.
It's a con.
Making money off of something that's all made up and is, mm-hmm. you know, is a con, you know, and he's profiting off of that. And, you know, we'll get to that farther in the show of what ultimately happens, how he got away with it. But, you know, just going back more into his persona and his life growing up, he seemed to really be drawn to becoming rich. And, you know, I think early on he would steal like a prescription pad, you know, from the doctors and would prescribe drugs and sold those drugs. Yeah, so, you know, got caught up in that, you know, that really, you know, went south, but really just wanted to kind of the quick way to make money was like,
I think he was a schemer. Like he was a schemer. He wanted to get away with things that he thought he could get away with for as long as possible. And I mean, I think when ultimately his schemes started to spiral and not work out is when those things with Miami Exotics started to not work out and they got into an incredible amount of debt. And like the future of that company was really kind of threatened. I mean, they state that like Trapani, that Ray really wanted, not really wanted, but tried to take his life. But that's around the same time when Sorbet came along and tipped him off about the potential opportunity to con people out of their crypto or, well, real money, but into crypto. And that was like his golden ticket out of this. Man, I don't know what is next here's my new scheme.
Here's how
we're going to do it next.
It's
the high. Yeah. He lived off of a high.
It's almost like this whole life was a Ponzi scheme, borrowing from something next to borrow from something next to borrow from something next to pay for his past sins. So that's kind of like, I mean, he had the whole car business, and that could have been a successful business in and of itself, but it was mismanaged. There's no bean counter saying, stop spending all this money. You're taking too much drawdown. Yeah. You know, the equity just dissolved out of that. And then this next, you know, the Bitcoin thing is, I mean, they kind of stumble into it, I guess. It's a weird way of thinking about it. Like, they always set this company up as a fraud, and eventually they had to make it seem like it wasn't as much of a fraud as it was. They hired, quote unquote, some developers, and then the whole Korea thing happened. And that was the funny part of the story. When he goes over to Korea, he gives them the pitch, and everybody, and then they can't get a hold of him, and everybody's wondering if he's been killed by the Koreans or something like that, because they were aware of their fraud, you know, mystique or whatever. And then effectively they, you know, were so excited when they got the extra $15 million or whatever.
Continue on. I think it was similar to a lot of the, you know, the Wirecard, but also Theranos, and the fact that, you know, I think they started out this totally a con, and then once it started raising all this money, they thought they could throw money at it to make it real. You know, like, okay, this is started as a con. We're saying we're from Harvard, you know. And one of the things, Ray's like, we're young guys. We want people to believe in us and everything. So our CEO was like, they looked up on Google or whatever, old guy. And they took a picture of some old guy and put him up there as their CEO. And like, I remember the... Just a persona.
Yeah, just a persona.
So putting more context on that, they made up a fraudulent fake identity as a CEO, created a LinkedIn page profile associated with it. And then, spoiler alert, later in their episode, later in their fraud storyline, they killed him off. They killed off the CEO.
Well, they faked his death. They faked his death because people wanted him to speak, and on the chats were like, "Hey, is this guy even real?" And they were like, "Buy some more time." He got in a car wreck. They wanted to get away. Like, so they just, you know, it's almost like lies and lies and lies.
Yeah.
You know, that came out of this, and like, they didn't even know what was true or not. Like, the reality that they were in, you know, majority of it was lies. And so they just believed those lies and followed that to their ultimate demise. But
I don't think it was so much that they didn't know what they were doing or that they believed their lies. It's that they intentionally told lies to cover up other lies. And that's different than, I mean, Elizabeth Holmes, really, she really did believe there was a possibility of have bringing that technology, you know, she hired a team and they were working on
it.
They,
she knew it didn't work.
She was convinced it was going
to
work.
She wanted it to work just like they wanted to get the software and outsource it to some other country to write the code and develop it. You know, it was, one of the things, and this reminds,
you don't run a business that way. You don't run a business developing the technology and then try outsourcing it. I mean, they just put up the facade of wanting to make it seem like they were developing this technology, but they didn't hire anybody that knew what they were doing. I mean, that's
true.
Versus Theranos,
we could hash out Theranos versus this one all day long.
I'm gonna come with another little slant on this and say, you know, a lot of the people that invested in this, the coin and trying to get in on the front end, you know, were trying to get rich quick as well. So, you know, there.
Yeah.
I think that's a common misconception in the American ideology. Is that
one of the main characters on here that was trying to shut them down was like a military guy, and he basically was like, "Yeah, I want to put some money in something so that I can, you know, make money, get in on the front end, and make a lot of money." And so, you know, we look at him as a victim, but it's people like that that are throwing all this money at this to make money. It's greed on both sides that's really causing some of this. So there's some onus there, yeah. But you know, this is definitely an egregious scam. So
let's wrap up the Who on just like, you know, what kind of happened at the end. So Matt, Jeff, do you want to talk about what happened to the three characters in the end of it all? And then we can go into the how.
Jeff, you want to talk about how it started to crumble?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, the reporter from the Times kept on pushing in on things and pulling on threads. And of course, then like that kind of almost led to the fake death of the CEO, where they wanted to talk to the reporter, wanted to talk to the CEO, and people wanted to understand more of the story from a credibility, because it just seemed like Ray was BSing people, and you know, the reporter saw through it, and so they faked the death, and that really went to you know, then they started on the Slack channel, there's all people talking about how this is a fraud, and so they just effectively the New York Times reporter blew the story, kept on pushing and pushing and pushing to be able to unravel the rest of the story, and then you had the turning on, so you had effectively Ray turning on the team, the Sorby, right? He said that it was his idea, threw him under the bus, offered to testify against them. So arguably, I think Ray was, if you want to could call it this, kind of the worst of the three in many respects, although none of them really had any character integrity.
Well, and I think the cease and desist of MasterCard and Visa on their website, that...
And then it was the other bank, remember that little thread, the first one.
They reached out to the attorney to help them with that, and the attorney guy was a college kid. Yeah. That was a college.
Yeah, that was so funny. So unravel that one a little bit. So effectively, the law firm that this
Ray reached out to a law firm that was hired up in New York, and it was supposedly once he got the cease and desist on, you know, the Visa and MasterCard, he reached out because they had plenty of money. How do we deal with this? You know, and basically it was like, you know, just take it down. You know, just take it off your site. And, you know, was paying huge fees for this law firm to help with the quote unquote with the thing.
Quote unquote.
Then to find out that it's just some kid in his dorm room. Yeah,
the scammers got scammed.
That was kind of ironic, and I think even Ray was caught off guard there. Like, oh, there's others out there as well.
Yeah, and then effectively, yeah. So to wrap this up, the how effectively the SEC came in and kept investigating based upon the story of the New York Times reporter. And then they came in eventually and arrested all three of them. But Ray flipped on his two partners effectively, and in the long run, copped a plea deal that got him from out of jail. Right? That was time served is what they gave him as a sentence, and he hadn't served.
I think what happened here is, you know, the SEC wanted to make a statement. And so I think Ray saw it as an opportunity to save his skin, and that's all he really cared about, you know, was saving his skin. So he saw it as an opportunity. Hey, my back's against the wall. I'm a scammer. I'm going to keep scamming, you know. So I'm gonna rat on it. I'm gonna give them everything that they need to then get out under this. So, and I know Sorby is in prison for 8 years for this, and I think he's also saying, hey, he's not commented on this Netflix thing, and that he's going to, once he gets out, he's probably going to have something. So I think he's like, ah, man, this guy's getting publicity for this, and I'm sitting in jail.
Yeah, I mean, Ray really got the good end of the deal. He's only doing 3 years of supervised release. He has a $20,000 fine, and in order to forfeit the 36 mil.
Yeah, but where is that money? I never in the episode they never really kind of confiscated some of that, you know, that money. So
I mean, he brought probably bought a bunch of crypto from it and didn't.
It's probably an asset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably got a Bitcoin wallet somewhere out there, and
let's not try to promote that, you know, fraud is the way to go because you can get away with it here. That's not what we're trying to do on this show. We should probably move to the next.
The moral of the story is you got to flip on your friends. If like you're the fraudster, you got to make sure you're the first guy to flip.
Oh no.
That's not the moral of the story. That's
more like the moral of the story learned. Is really, yeah. Like what now? Like I think the what now really answers like why we're talking about this. Yes, the Netflix show is entertaining. And do we feel a smidge guilty about watching something that someone who is a criminal gets paid to do?
Yes.
Maybe.
I feel bad. I feel very bad.
I feel that way about the Murdaugh murders, but you know,
fair enough. That was me. That's true too.
Yeah.
Let's just tell Netflix they need to stop doing this. I mean, this is great stuff for our episodes, but man, that's really the root cause of the problem is like bad people are getting paid to tell their story. Maybe we should all cancel our Netflix subscription. We need to go on like a campaign against Netflix. Like, stop paying.
Well, I mean, the number two things that people are intrigued in watching on those things, number one is murder, and close second behind that is fraud and being conned and tricked, and you know.
Yeah, yeah, and then right behind that is cop shows. So it's a very mysterious world out there. So.
Which the cop shows are trying to catch the first two. They're trying to catch the first two.
That's why I'm saying.
So they're really profiling.
Oxymoronic.
Interesting because not the cops, the good guys, it's the bad guys are interesting.
Well, let's go through, you know, how could some of this stuff be something attainable to our listeners? What are some red flags to be looking for when looking at crypto, you know?
Well, I think in
crypto, all of crypto is a fraud, maybe other than Bitcoin. That's what I'm going to say. We can go back and talk through.
Is Bitcoin.
Well, but it wasn't.
They had their own
partially.
Coin.
It was
their own coin
broken up.
Similar to FTX.
That leverage, supposedly.
That's what they were paying Meriwether, out of their coin. Ray was laughing because he's like, this is not worth anything. And this guy's taking all this coin. It's just inflated because people wanted it and got into it. There was nothing behind it. So, no, this is not, you know, anything with Bitcoin on that. But another key thing here that we've said multiple times, unregistered investments or unregulated areas. You know, that's where, you know, some of the biggest frauds happen with Madoff and so forth, and even FTX. You know, that's what Ray was saying. Hey, we saw an opportunity. You know, nobody's really looking at this. Nobody's really regulating this. You know, we have an opportunity, you know, to make money off of this and exploit this. He was looking for ways to exploit it. So anything that's unregistered investment-wise or you know, it does not have any regulatory bodies looking at it. You know, there's a lot more risk there.
I'm going to go back to the technology. I think the technology itself was a red flag. So what the credit cards in theory were supposed to be doing is drawing down those, spending your Bitcoin via credit card. That was really what it was. So effectively it's supposed to be drawing down your Bitcoin
assets
crypto, as you're using your credit card. Yeah. Yeah. But it could have been Bitcoin. So any crypto. So effectively the value of crypto is it's secure, right? And you have access to the wallet and the basically the passwords, and you would never hand that over to somebody else to use to draw down your assets. I mean, the technology doesn't make sense at all. I mean, the very nature of having a wallet with an encrypted password that is only known by you and can't be known by anybody else, right? So it's secure, is you would never hand that over to another company to be able to draw down part of your Bitcoin as part of a Visa or whatever, a credit card transaction. So just like in Theranos, to go back to that, the technology never made sense because the medical community said there's no way possible for this to be done, right? So she never proved the technology there. In this case, they never proved the technology here. So you should never invest in a company where the technology isn't independently proven by somebody other than by a third party. It really is very much the same as Theranos. She fraudulently said it was, you know, in that case, the blood, she come up with fake tests and use different technology.
Yeah.
And, the red flag is somebody hadn't independently tested the technology. That's what it is.
Guys, crypto is high risk. There's potential high reward, but like Warren Buffett says, understand what you invest in. If you can't really understand what's driving the value, I feel like this is FOMO.
This would have had a tremendous amount of value if it could have been done, but it would never have flown because of the technology.
So. Yeah. I think there's also something to be said, and this is something my dad always tells me and my grandpa tells me, is if you can't figure it out or it doesn't make sense, don't invest.
Yeah, another thing would be only invest in people that you can actually feel like you can trust.
Yeah.
I mean, this is when it's pre-IPO.
Yeah, but this verify, really kind of right? opens yeah. up something maybe we could discuss on a future episode that's huge out there with the BTC Bitcoin ETF funds. That's huge for trading of Bitcoin, but you know, let's kind of circle back around to that, because you know, you're really dealing with these big, like Fidelity has one and you know, BlackRock, and they buy so much, you know, Bitcoin or whatever, but they let people trade on there with that. So it kind of opens up that whole thing with FTX and being able to, but you're not securing it like the security that Bitcoin was, you know, with you having your wallet and your passcode for that wallet. That's where the security, that's where, you know, nobody can really touch that. Nobody can mess with that. You bring it back to investing in these big ETFs. Is that really taking the security away? And now exposing you to more risk.
Jeff's saying no.
ETFs, I would say, argue that ETFs in some respects are a scam. I mean, all of them, because you basically are automating. I mean, whole nother topic.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like that's something I would definitely want to sit in and listen on.
ETFs are a scam.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another. No,
the whole investment community.
Hey, just be careful with those new things. And I think here, one of the best things that you can do with these extremely high risk is limit your exposure. Don't put all your eggs in one basket unless you're willing to lose that full basket.
Diversify.
Based on the risk that you're taking. High risk can also mean high rewards, but also can mean, you know, you lose it all. So anyways, those are some things there, but do your due diligence. At the end of the day, do your due diligence and research this stuff and really pay attention and don't watch Netflix shows.
Well, on that note, guys.
Boycott Netflix. Let's do something other than Netflix shows. That's a good thing.
Maybe we should do Apple or something.
We did.
We should just read the newspaper.
More office episodes,
Matt. BitCon?
I know.
We got to go somewhere else.
I know. Anyways, well, thanks guys for listening to this episode. We will catch you guys next time, and you can find us on all our stream platforms. So thanks for listening. See you guys later.